The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Invite you to be seated. The Spirit immediately drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. In the Jewish tradition, wilderness was the God-forsaken place in the world, a place of alienation and danger. That's where the Israelites wandered for 40 years, and that's where the lepers and demon-possessed are pushed out of community into the wilderness. It's there that Jesus gets tempted and is at danger of attack by wild beasts. And God, the Spirit, drives him there to the God-forsaken place. A bit disturbing. Why? Well, short of being able to read God's mind, we never really will know the reasons why. What we do know is that the first thing that happens to Jesus after he begins his public ministry, gets baptized, is difficult. And God wants it that way. And this isn't the popular version of Christianity where life is tough before you become Christian and everything goes well once you convert. It flies in the face of such success-oriented Christianity where God rewards us by wealth or opportunity if we believe certain things enough or are serious enough about God. And you can even hear success-oriented Christianity in slogans like, that seems so mild, "The family that prays together stays together," which can give the feeling that Christianity offers success in the world, even in the personal world of family. Not for Jesus. Mark wants us to know that from the very beginning. And lest we think that Jesus is different from the disciples and the life of discipleship is different and is more success-oriented, following Jesus doesn't lead to success in Mark either, or any of the New Testament writings. Actually, it leads to the opposite. In some cases, death. And in most cases, following Jesus leads to being treated suspiciously and given fewer privileges in society. Now, the reason I'm so hard on success-oriented Christianity is not only does it get the Christian life backwards, but it also gives false hope to Christians. And it doesn't match the real life experience of Christians for very long. Because Christians also find themselves in financial trouble. Christian families do end up breaking apart. Life pressures drive Christians into depression, and Christians get cancer too. And when that happens, those who've had this success-oriented Christianity thrust upon them also have to bear some sort of guilt or failure for not being Christian enough. Otherwise, they think they wouldn't be in such negative circumstances. That's why I'm so hard on this success-oriented tradition, movement. Mark could tell us, though, and does tell us, that bad things do happen to Christians. You know, I wonder, actually, if that's the reason that God sends Jesus into the wilderness first thing, to make clear to everybody that they shouldn't expect success or ease or rewards for being Christian or following Christ. The reality is that human beings are sinful, self-centered, and we live in a broken world. Evil and tragedy fall upon Christians just as they fall upon atheists and Buddhists and all other religions, people of other religions. And perhaps, actually, Christians can expect even a little more trouble than usual because of our faith. The world doesn't like people who challenge its principle that might makes right. Christians see the power of God in the cross, a sign of weakness. The world doesn't like to be told that it can't do whatever it wants and that God will judge it in the end. If nothing else, the Lutheran tradition reflects really a down-to-earth, realistic understanding of life and our experience as Christians. I was amazed when I first joined a Lutheran church because it was the first time that a pastor had spoken about the world and my inmost self as I had really experienced it. It was a sense of relief for me. I didn't have to come to church and expect that I'd become very, very religious all of a sudden. I didn't have to pretend that because of Jesus, nothing ever got me down. I didn't have to leave my mind at the door, and I could be honest about questions and doubts that I have. And this down-to-earthness isn't really Lutheran, it's from Mark, where Jesus goes straight from baptism, a high, right into trouble. Perhaps to reveal that we will too. We live in a world that often appears, to me especially of recent years, to be God-forsaken, like the wilderness, at times surrounded by people and things that don't care if we live or die, like the beasts in the reading. But there is good news from Mark. And the angels waited on him. God didn't merely send Jesus out there in the wilderness alone to face difficulty. God also took care of him in the midst of difficulty. God tended to him, protected him, waited on him through the angels, the messengers. And so the one who was the good news himself and the incarnation of the kingdom of God could come near to Galilee and human beings. So yes, Christians can expect trouble in life, but we won't be alone. God comes to us in the wilderness too, not through supernatural winged creatures, but through down-to-earth things that we can hear and see and taste, through the word and the sacraments, and through brothers and sisters in faith. Through them, God raises up the new creation in us and among us, that countercultural new creation, who is the opposite of might makes right, power hungry, and self-absorbed, who's willing to be weak or foolish for the sake of the neighbor. Christians too get the flu. Brothers and sisters, no matter what you face in life, here, this morning, right now, our gracious and caring and tender God tends to you, gives you strength to be weak out there, protects you from all that will harm you, and waits on you in a little meal that goes a long way. And you're not alone. You have brothers and sisters with whom to share the burdens and also the joys of life and this world. But yes, we can expect trouble in life, especially because of our faith. There's no getting around that. But we have the promise in the resurrection that the Son of God will triumph over all evil and sin in the end. And until then, we gather each Sunday in the refuge of a mighty fortress who is our gracious God. Amen.